The Lord be with you.
And with
your a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. In the course of his teaching, Jesus said to the crowds, "Beware of the scribes who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows, and as a pretext recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury. For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she from her poverty has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord. When Elijah asked for a bit of bread, the widow answered, "I have nothing baked. Just now I was collecting a couple of sticks to go in and prepare something for myself and my son. When we have eaten that, we shall die." And despite this, Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you propose. But first, make me a little cake and bring it to me. Then you can prepare something for yourself and your son. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry.'" In the gospel, Jesus is observing many rich people putting in large donations, which is not a bad thing, by the way. I don't think he was being critical of that. That's always a good thing, so not to discourage, right? But then a poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth only a few cents. And calling his disciples to himself, Jesus points this out and says to them, "Amen, this widow, poor widow, put in more than all the other givers to the treasury." A widow at the time of Jesus was powerless. A widow had no legal status, no income, could not own land. She had no future other than dependence on the charity of others. The Hebrew word for widow is almana. The root of the Hebrew word means unable to speak. Women in general could not speak for themselves. They depended entirely on the care and protection of male relatives who had legal authority. The death of a husband changed everything. There was an order of widows which emerged in the early church because the church sought how to meet the needs of elderly women, especially those who were alone. And this is nothing new. It is an enormous challenge we face today as well, and will face in the years to come. But as I was preparing this homily, I called to mind the scene of Jesus as he's dying on the cross, and who is at the foot of the cross is his mother and St. John. So here's an account from the Gospel of John. Near the cross was Jesus, his mother, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Jesus entrusts Mary, his mother, to his beloved disciple, John, moments before he utters, "It is finished." Any observer would see the stark reality. Jesus' mother's social and familial position placed her at grave risk of a desperate future. She was not wealthy nor well-born. She would have been late in her 40s, and at this time, only four out of 100 women would have lived past 50 years. They saw a widow whose only son, had just been branded a criminal and sentenced to death at the hands of Roman authorities. She had no future. Widows such as this were economically deprived, often forced into slavery or worse. They were socially pushed to the side, to the peripheries, as Pope Francis says, and frequently subject to abuse. I'm wondering, you know, now that we have that context, think about what Elijah saw when he came upon the widow and her son, right? Desperate situation. When Jesus saw the widow in the temple, he knew clearly what this woman's life was like. Desperate situation. So I think in that context, this begins to have a whole different kind of meaning. Mary stands in solidarity with all vulnerable women. Jesus shows us the way forward, commending Mary and John to each other as mother and son. Behold your mother, behold your son. At this moment, the church is born as blood and water flows forth from his side, the blood being Eucharist, the water being baptism. And Mary stands at the center of this mystery. St. John Paul II, in his encyclical Redemptoris Mater, says that Mary's motherhood becomes man's inheritance, a gift which Christ makes to every individual, and entrusts humanity to the mother of Christ. What had formerly been a stark hope in a hopeless situation, like the widow of Zarephath, is now transformed into a dependence on God that promises fruitful community. Reaching across time and eternity, John integrates Mary into his kinship structure, but is also adopted as a son. There is no longer social isolation. We can see the selflessness, the generosity of Mary at that moment in the cross, also in the widow in the temple. I wonder, was Jesus thinking of his mother at this moment, from her poverty, giving all she had? Certainly, he was thinking about how to provide for her once all of this takes place and he is gone. The prophet Elijah, I wonder how far into the future he is able to see. Can he see all the way to the cross? Did he see in the widow and her son in this most desperate situation in the desert, the widow and her son at the cross? Pope Francis, in a Wednesday audience in 2018, calls Mary the model of Christian life. He contrasts the important, the rich, the influential with the least, the poor, and the weak. Jesus denounces the oppression of the weak categorically based on religious motives. But Jesus offers his disciples a living example today, the poor widow, to impress on them how offering all she had is filled with significance. Again, Pope Francis says the Lord measures quality, not quantity, and he scrutinizes the heart and sees the purity of intentions. We don't even know the widow's name, but we know her heart, and this is what counts before God.